T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Maggie and Perloff and you on this Friday. So glad to have you with us. And, you know, if you were wondering if my co-host, Andrew Perloff, noted 76ers fan, was devastated, broken up by the fact that his team no-showed last night in an elimination game at home again. Well, the answer to that is no. He has already moved on and abandoned the 76ers now for the Milwaukee Bucks. So, okay, if you have really moved on and you are no longer a Sixers fan and now you're onto the Bucks because you're bandwagoning, I'll ask you this question. Should the 76ers think about trading Joel Embiid? As a non-fan, what would you have to say about
that? No. I think you got to take your shot with Embiid. I think it's the best hand that you're dealt. I don't think it's a championship hand. But obviously, if Harden went away tomorrow, I wouldn't care. Right. Tobias Harris went away, that'd be a miracle because he's overpaid.
Yep.
I don't think Embiid is necessarily a championship player. But I don't think you're going to get anything in a trade that's any closer. Like, what? Give me a hypothetical trade.
Well, I don't have one for you. Yeah. I just know that superstars can move if they want to. And there was part of me last night, and I think anyone who was watching the post game or if you got wind of the post game, because the game obviously was a snooze. But if you caught wind of the post game, which became much more entertaining than the actual game itself, you would have noticed something very unique, which was Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid like professing their love for each other. And they didn't play together for very long, Perloff. It was half a season, two rounds in the playoffs. And by the way, like Jimmy Butler, if we do a little revisionist history, was not that great in those playoff series.
I would disagree with
that. No, he's excellent on defense at all times, well, but just shooting, he was not good in that series.
The last 2 minutes is when he showed up. Against Toronto, the only reason they made it to that Kawhi shot was because Jimmy Butler.
In game 6, he was good. Game 7, he was not.
He was the only guy who really would show up at the end of games. Okay. He was the only shot creator who was consistent in those situations.
So they obviously decided not to give the money to Jimmy Butler, and they gave it to Tobias Harris. They gave it to Al Horford. They basically gave it to everybody but Jimmy Butler. But, you know, they didn't play with each other for so long, so I was a little surprised to hear, the level of love between these two. Here's Embiid.
Still don't know how we let him go, but, you know, I wish I could have gone to battle with him still, but it is what it is. You know, just got to, keep building and, keep trying to reach that goal.
So that was Embiid. Jimmy Butler in his post game on ESPN said, I wish I was still playing here. I love Miami, but I wish I was still a 76er. Like, did you have any idea they had this kind of connection?
No, it's weird. It doesn't strike me, though. I know where your mind works. They're working on some conspiracy to get together. I'm not really quite sure that's where they're at. I think they were just trying to praise each other, show love. I think Jimmy was trying to show respect. Obviously, he doesn't respect Tobias Harris. We learned that after the game.
Yes, we did.
But I think he was just trying to show respect for a fellow NBA guy. I don't see, there was a lot of that last night on Twitter. Oh, Jimmy Butler's trying to get with Joel Embiid. I feel like Jimmy Butler's in a pretty good situation here in Miami.
He is, but that's a good team. I still don't know, and I'm not trying to be a Miami Heat hater here. I'm not. They're a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. Their role players are playing really well. Butler obviously is playing great, but don't forget about Butler. In terms of scoring, there's always going to be a little bit of a cap on where Butler can score consistently. But that's not why you love him. You love him for the other things he does, too. He's great on defense. He's always bringing it. You know, he'll take on the other team's best shooters all the time. I mean, he's just excellent. And so here's what I think. I don't know if Joel Embiid is actively trying to get himself traded from the 76ers. But I would kind of understand if he's wondering, like, what's the plan here? You know, we had our boss, Spike Eskin, who hosts the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, which is the most popular 76ers podcast in the country. And he said he's not even sure that Doc is actually going to be back. So what happens here? If you're Joel Embiid, you're on your fourth GM? You'd be on your third head coach? Am I counting these right? Second head. Now you'd be on your third if Doc doesn't come back. You've had this rotating cast around you, but we're not even sure if those guys are any good. At some point, well, are you wondering?
We're very sure they're not.
I'm sorry. They're borderline NBA players. Are we sure that he wouldn't look at another franchise and say, my prime is a very important thing, and it's going to be gone soon, and I got to try to get myself to a better
spot? I'm just curious. Like, why do you think Joel Embiid, like, would win a championship in his prime? Who's the, like, equivalent player? You're saying he's like Giannis, where he could win a championship? He's like, traditionally, you know, in today's NBA, seven-footers are not winning championships.
Right.
Like, Joker's getting nowhere close, and Embiid's not getting close. It's like, come playoff time, you need a shot creator. You need outside guys.
Well, I would say, though, if he's going to go somewhere else, he might not be the number one guy. So, like, number two guys who are big men like that, I mean, I would say Joel Embiid is way better than DeAndre Ayton, but he's a great complimentary piece. And if he's playing on a better team.
Dude, DeAndre Ayton is sinking the Suns.
I am really
concerned about DeAndre Ayton.
Well, the Suns and Mavs, I can't even figure the series out.
That's another guy, by the way. Like, DeAndre Ayton's like, DeAndre Ayton should dominate that series, but there's something that happens to these seven footers. I think it's more like, it might be a bigger picture NBA thing where a guy like Embiid is just not built to win a championship.
Okay, what about Anthony Davis?
But Anthony Davis, to me, is a little more versatile than Embiid. I know that sounds really weird, but Anthony Davis can play outside a little more fluidly when on those rare days that he's healthy. It's funny because Embiid's a better player, but come playoffs, and I remember the bubble playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, Anthony Davis
was hitting everything.
He could also go outside and cover people outside a little better than Joel. Yeah. Then again, I don't know if he would have won without LeBron. So if you bring Joel Embiid to a prime LeBron, yes, he's going to win a title.
I'm saying, though.
But I don't think, you know, it's funny that you say that because I think most people think that Embiid has to be the one.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he thinks that way.
Yeah,
right?
So you're saying, like, join a super team.
That's what I'm thinking.
Interesting.
And I don't know how he would be able to do this, considering the 76ers just paid him, like, an obscene amount of money, which is good. Get yours. But I don't know if it's so movable. But again, is there any contract or any superstar that's not movable in the NBA? I have yet to see the proof.
But he's not going to win an MVP if he goes to be a two. And you know how obsessed he is with that.
He already said it's a lose-lose for him, Perloff. You know, if he can't win this year, he doesn't think he'll ever win it.
I mean, like, I could see.
He shouldered everything this year.
Who are, like, you look at the teams that, what if he went to Minnesota with Anthony Edwards or Memphis with Ja Morant? Even so, like, he would have to adjust his style because with the Sixers right now, every play goes through him.
Yes, I get that.
So it's a kind of a weird thing. Like, a star like that, how do you make him a champion? It's not a simple answer.
No, it's not. And I'm just looking at it from his perspective.
Like, yeah, I understand.
If he's thinking, okay, there were moments, like, I know it was different because LeBron was a free agent, but there was a moment where LeBron, who I know is better than Joel Embiid, but just stay with me, there was a moment where LeBron was in Cleveland and said, this is as far as I can go.
Of course.
And so he decided to go to Miami and team up, right? There was a moment where Kevin Durant said, this is as far as I can go. And Joel Embiid, who probably should have won MVP this year, probably looks at himself on the level of those guys and says, man, if LeBron James could leave, if Kevin Durant can leave, I know I'm not a free agent, but why wouldn't I try to get myself to the best possible situation?
And all I say is to that new situation, you know, you better have a good backup set or come playoff time because Embiid's going to be hurt. How about, here's one that was flying around Twitter last night. How about teaming up another guy who's a star who hasn't been able to win yet, Luka and Joel Embiid. Feels like Dallas is always an aggressive team. I personally think that might be a little combustible because there's one ball. I'd like to see how that would work.
Yeah. Also, is there something kind of emerging about Luka, his body language, him as a teammate? I don't know. Is there a little smoke and fire there?
What do you mean?
Just that, you know, when he doesn't get the ball, or he can tend to have really bad body language on the court at times and things like that.
I guess so. Has there been a play where he hasn't had the ball in his hand?
That's a really good point.
It's rare. His usage percentage is like 84% right now. Yeah. But Luka, those are two guys, and I think Joker falls in this category too. Like these, and John Morant will eventually, like these superstar guys. What is a piece that puts him into a title? I don't know. I'm not sure Joel can force his way out of Philadelphia and win a title. What's he going to go to Brooklyn with KD?
No,
I don't know.
I would think he wants to go to Miami. I mean, I don't know if he wants to. I'm just saying, based off of last night and the love, and it could have just been series just ended. It's been emotional for everyone. It's been emotional season for the 76ers, especially Embiid's playing through these injuries. It might have been nothing. But then again, sometimes in the NBA, it looks like nothing, and it's actually something pretty significant. But
it's funny you say Miami. I'm like, oh, yeah, get Embiid down there. Something to slow down that team so the Sixers could handle. Like, that
Sixers
would be,
can finally beat
everything
him.
Miami does well, like Embiid would immediately gut.
Well, okay, so we mentioned that the 76ers postgame has actually become way more interesting than the games themselves. That's usually not a good sign. But with that in mind, we'd like to start a new segment called
Great Moments in 76ers Press Conference History.
Practice. We talking about practice?
Yes, all the way back to Allen Iverson. But for our purposes today, we're just going to focus on last night because that was enough to make it into the 76ers Press Conference Hall of Fame. Let's start with Doc Rivers, who had a nice back and forth with noted Philadelphia media, radio and television extraordinaire / agitator, Howard Eskin.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it, because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
Well, turns out Doc gets the better of this round against Howard Eskin because it turns out Daryl Morey says he's going to come back. Now, Howard Eskin's son, Spike Eskin, who was on our show earlier today and is our boss, doesn't fully believe that Rivers is actually going to be coaching the team next
year. Yeah, I don't think Spike was saying it's a definite, like he's not back, but saying like, hey, listen, it's a long offseason.
Yep.
You know what struck me is the one thing that could change that is maybe if the Lakers call and Doc has a graceful exit or another team, so they could work it out. Spike sounded pretty convinced, but you know what? If Doc Rivers does return, would it shock anybody now?
It would shock me.
Really?
Yeah, it would shock me. And actually, let's go to our next moment in press conference, 76ers press conference history. This is James Harden, who was asked about Doc Rivers and about really the ball kind of going through Harden, the lack of shot attempts. And this is how he answered.
Why weren't you more aggressive?
Like I just said, you run an offense, the ball, you know, just didn't get back to me.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Next question.
But in regards to an extension, are you willing to take less for an extension?
Whatever it takes to help this team continue to grow and put us up there with the best of them.
The next question on the Doc Rivers question is what really caught my attention there, Perloff. I mean, I know there's a cool-off period and everyone's going to go their separate ways for a couple weeks, but it doesn't seem like Doc Rivers and James Harden is such a great fit.
Yeah, I was really surprised about that because, I mean, what play? You don't run plays for James Harden. He has the ball in his hand and dribbles around.
Yeah.
Like, there's no play there, is there? And it's Harden's fault. That's all this to me is on Harden, not Doc. I don't think Doc did a great job by any means. But to me, like, Harden should look at himself, not Doc Rivers.
Well, another person who thinks that Harden should take a look at himself is Joel Embiid, who got super honest when he was asked about Harden and his role on the team.
Since we got him, everybody expected Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore. He's more of a playmaker. I thought, at times, could have been as all of us could have been more aggressive.
Man, that was like, do you think that was news to Harden? when your teammate basically tells you, I'm sorry, you're now a game manager. You thought you were a superstar, but you're not anymore. You're a game manager. How do you think that landed with James Harden?
Joel Embiid has this problem being way too honest after he gets kicked out of the playoffs. I think it could be like a light version of what he said about Ben Simmons last year, where he kind of sold out Simmons. So I don't think it's going to go great. Although, what's Harden going to do? He's got $48 million coming. I think Embiid could say Harden's terrible. And Harden, if he has half a brain, is going to sign that one-year deal.
Well, all right.
That was great moments in 76ers press conference history.
What do you think Harden's reaction to that is?
You know, I think it was a brilliant, actually, from Embiid. I don't know if he was meaning to do that. And obviously, it's a little slap in the face to Harden. But I thought it was brilliant. It's basically telling the front office, we all see this. We know. You didn't get Houston James Harden. We have a different version, so he shouldn't be paid like MVP James Harden. I thought that was brilliant. I mean, if Embiid really wants to make sure this team has maximum flexibility to try to build around him, you can't allow Harden to sign this massive deal.
Let me ask you what you think from the Harden point of view. If you know you could sign for $47 million next year, or you can do, let's say, a five-year deal for $175 million. So you're going to get a lot less than $48 million. But if you do the one-year deal, then you risk no more big deals after
right.
that. So do you take a lesser long-term deal, or do you just do the $48 million? Because the Sixers want that number down.
Yeah. Ah, what a great problem that would have.
That'd be a nice problem
to
have.
Would you like $48 million, or would you like this spread out over 5 years?
Yeah, I'll give you 100. I'll do $150 million for 5 years, which averages out to $30 million per year.
That's what I would take if I'm still serious about wanting to play five more years in the NBA. Has anyone asked Harden about that?
But look at the math, though. If you get 1 year at 48, you're already well on your way to 150. So you're betting on yourself.
Yeah, I guess. But does Harden really look like the kind of what we saw this playoffs? Does he look like the guy who's got this big bleep you chip on my shoulder? I'm going to show you and I'm going to get this max deal.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, I think we've realized with Harden, like, he's rich enough. He's been successful enough to whatever his standards were. He won an MVP. He's played, 150 playoff games. I mean, he probably looks at his career and thinks, this is a wild success. You want to keep paying me, great, but this is what you're getting.
Yeah.
Next question.
I don't think he takes the lower deal. I think he opts in for $48 million because I think you're right. He's not like super chip on your shoulder. I don't think any NBA star is going to take less, like $30 million a year. I don't think he sees himself as a $30 million a year guy.
Imagine thinking that's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
$30 million. How dare you? I've got a family to feed.
I know. The NBA.
What am I, a peasant to you?
Oh, my God.
What is the Adidas deal paying him? I mean, it's not like he doesn't have a way to supplement his income.
Isn't that what Sprewell said a decade ago? Like, I have a family to feed?
Yeah. I stole that one from Spree. That was, I think. Was that with the Timberwolves, Sprewell? Something like that.
Do you realize if James Harden would probably be super insulted if you said, we're going to give you $30 million.
$30
million.
Yeah, it's like, well, nobody's coming to see you.
I know, it's just crazy.
And Embiid just said you're a game manager.
But that's how...
Like, congrats, you're Mac Jones.
Silly these numbers are. These are silly numbers. The James Harden's getting $48 million next year. The James Harden I saw last night. Can we just say how insane this is?
It is insane. It's Monopoly money. It's abstract at this point. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Coming up next... Prime time or garbage time? We'll play that game in just a moment. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Big night last night. My former team, the 76ers, got eliminated. Luka Doncic went off for the Mavs. But a lot of people were watching the schedule release show, both NFL Network, ESPN, Paramount Plus. The thing that I like to see is the primetime games. How does the NFL view all the teams in the league? So you could give up to 5 primetime games, and I guess I found out this out last night, you could give 0. Yeah. I thought every team got one.
No, as a long time and a long-suffering Bills fan before Josh Allen got there, there were many seasons where it was Sunday at 1, boom, all the way down the line.
So the Detroit Lions got 0. The couple ones that surprised you, the 5. The Bengals got 5. I wasn't sure. I mean, I know they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But are they
and Joe Burrow, that's
sellable. Pretty good. Then the Chargers, who I think are, I mean, they're just so stacked. They got to be 5, right? I know you're into the Chargers.
Yeah, I think the Chargers would get 5, but if you're talking about, like, national appeal, I don't know if the Chargers really hold people's attention. I mean, they're a great team, but we joke around about where's the fan base and, you know, all the, you know, opponents' fans invade their stadium.
Even if you get a low rating, L.A. is such a huge area.
That's true.
The other thing, remember that Raiders-Chargers game in Week 18?
Like
the
whole country. How could I forget?
I just think the Chargers are prone to drama, and there's going to be great games. The Rams, obviously, the Bills, because they're the Super. They're still the favorite, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The Eagles, I'm not.
I think that's a jinx on my team. Yes.
I knew the Eagles were going to get 5, by the way, because
people like drama?
They always get a ton of primetime games.
Because there's always something going on in Philadelphia. You guys never sit one out as a city. It's just always constant drama.
My 49ers got one. Obviously, the Cowboys, Patriots, Steelers still with 5.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about big fan bases. Are you crazy?
I know, but the quality, is that going to be? That's the one team of all the, you know, you got Denver and KC. I would have considered swapping out the Miami Dolphins for the Steelers.
You mean swapping out the Steelers for the Dolphins?
I'm just saying I would have given a couple of those games to the Dolphins. Now, we had Ani Bose from the NFL. They knew Tyreek Hill was going to be in Miami. I feel like Miami got 2 primetime games. They feel a little more primetime to me.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know, I really am. And I'm so curious about whether this is going to work. What's Tyreek Hill, you know, what's his productivity going to be like? Are they going to have any success against the Bills and the Patriots? Like, where is this team going? Is Mike McDaniel a good coach? Like, there's 100 things I find interesting about the Dolphins. They do get a Christmas Day game. That's at home hosting the Packers. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but look at this group there. They, they're below Chicago, got 3 games. Chicago is, or win totals at 6. You know, I feel like Miami has been around a 9-win team. Cleveland is a 2. The last one, Cleveland at 2. You know, it's pretty obvious to read into what that might mean.
Yeah, only 2 primetime games for Cleveland would lead me to believe that the league or the broadcast partners probably believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended for a majority of the season and didn't want to commit to putting them on primetime. Okay, we're going to play a little game now called Primetime or Garbage Time. So Samter is going to give us one of the NFL primetime games, whether Thursday, Sunday night, or Monday, and we'll determine whether this is worthy of primetime or is this garbage time. Samter, what do you got?
All right, so let's start with the first game on Amazon on Thursday Night Football. This is actually Week 2.
Yeah.
Because Week 1 is, as we know, is the NBC always carries that first game of the season. So Week 2, first game on Amazon Thursday Night Football, Chargers Chiefs, primetime or garbage time?
Oh, well, that's obvious primetime. Well, everything that happens between the AFC West is primetime.
Yeah. The whole division. I totally agree. And by the way, I think the Chiefs are basically in primetime. Even though they got 5 games,
it feels like they have
10. Chiefs are featured every single week, especially in the beginning of the season. Well, easy primetime.
What's next?
All right, so let's move over to Sunday Night Football. We were talking a lot about the Dolphins and the Steelers and whether or not they should have flip-flopped. Well, they actually play each other. So Week 7 on Sunday Night Football, you got Steelers-Dolphins.
Ooh.
Prime time or garbage time?
You know,
I'm going to go prime time.
That game's...
That's going to be a sneaky fun game. First of all, Week 7 could be... I don't know when their byes are, but I don't have it in front of me. But Week 7 could be that sneaky time if the Steelers are going to make a change from, say, Trubisky wins outright. Week 7 could be around the time where they could make a change to Pickett. That would be exciting.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's definitely interest here, but Dolphins games are the ugliest games in the NFL. There's just no doubt. Every Sunday you turn it on, they're always at 1 o'clock. It's always like a disgusting Jets game and Steelers games get ugly. Remember that Ravens Steelers game during the pandemic where every Steelers receiver dropped like 12 balls? I think this is an ugly game. I do not think this is going to be entertaining. Wow. I think we're going to walk away and be like, that was sloppy. Oh. Don't you see this is a sloppy game?
So that's how the Dolphins have been sneaky winning games this whole time. Those 1 o'clock Sunday games, I know we're talking primetime, but those 1 o'clock Sunday games, you got the team coming from out of town, partying on South Beach. That early start just kicks you right in the teeth. But I think this is primetime. You say garbage time. What's next?
There's a lot of questions around the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the Saints. We don't know what they're going to be. Well, week 9, they're on Monday Night Football. Ravens at the Saints. Prime time or garbage time?
Well, who's going to be playing quarterback for the Saints? Because that late in the year, it could be anybody. It could be someone we've barely heard of before.
I love, you know how I love the Saints quarterback room. I love Andy Dalton. I'm dying to see what Ian Books got as a backup. And maybe Jameis will be healthy.
The only person in America besides Ian Books' parents who are dying to see what Ian
Books got. Oh, don't you remember last year when everyone was so excited to see Ian Book, the former Notre Dame quarterback, and the Saints were talking him up, then he got out there and he was just awful.
And that was a primetime game. It was we were all watching poor Ian Book.
No, he can play.
Totally self-destruct.
He can run. I do not like this game either.
I'm not a big fan of this game. However, we did get some news today that Jarvis Landry is signing with the New Orleans Saints. I don't know how much that's going to matter. But you get a little Tyrann Mathieu signing with the Saints. Jarvis Landry now, LSU connection.
Man, how many games are Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry going to be on the field together? That'd be interesting.
Take the under.
Taysom Hill will be a bigger target. By the way, did you see another backup quarterback sign yesterday? Nathan Peterman, Chicago Bears.
Let's go. The name that shall not ever be uttered in this studio.
All right, give us another one, Mike. Get that Peterman taste out of Maggie's mouth.
The Peterman stench out of this studio.
Hey. So none of us will ever say Nathan Peterman's name.
No.
Nathan Peterman will not say Nathan
Peterman. I know
Nathan
Peterman. He's a great guy. He got screwed by some bad play calling.
I'm sure he's a decent person. He's a terrible quarterback.
Who again?
What's it from Harry Potter? Voldemort?
He who shall not be named.
Yeah.
So explain to me why his preseason passer rating is like 104.
Yeah,
like,
because he's playing against plumbers and firemen. What did J.J. Redick call the people playing against Bob Cousy?
I'll tell you, he can play.
Plumbers and firemen.
He can play.
Okay, well,
by the way, even the worst NFL quarterback's an incredible athlete.
Yeah,
so let's be nice here.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a fine person.
Let's look over at the Thanksgiving triple header.
Okay.
All right, you got the Bills and the Lions in the morning, got the Giants at the Cowboys, and then the third game, Patriots-Vikings. Prime time, garbage time.
Patriots Vikings is such a weird matchup.
Like, that is so bizarre.
I think of that. Like, I have no memory of a great Vikings Patriots game ever.
It is weird because, you know, obviously it's once every how many years? 4 years that these two divisions match up, AFC East and NFC North.
Is there any history there?
No. The one history that's recent that sticks out of my brain, but this is because I'm a Bills fan. This is when the Bills were the 14-point underdog, or maybe it was more, they were 21-point underdog going to Minnesota, and they somehow won the game and knocked everyone out of their knockout pool. Does anyone else remember this? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
I'm going to give that a no. By the way, I give that a no, and I give the Giants-Cowboys a big no as well.
I don't think America
I was going to ask that one. I wasn't sure where we'd go. That's interesting.
So Giants-Cowboys gets two prime times. I think they get a Monday night. And then they always get a Monday.
They're the ratings king. That matchup always kills. And the NFC East games, all these NFC East games get huge ratings, and half of them are terrible.
Well, because it's mostly because of the Cowboys. Garbage time. There's nothing interesting there, right? No.
Oh, my God. Cowboys, Giants?
Sorry, I was talking about Vikings, Patriots.
Vikings, Patriots, no. But when's the last good Cowboys, Giants game anyone can remember? Was Emmett playing?
This could be.
I'm sure there was something Eli related.
This is a question for Rich Ackerman. How about Eli? I mean, usually the Cowboys are just killing him.
Yeah, I'm sure Eli Romo had a couple. Wasn't there a game where Romo was hurt and like had a big game while he was like his arm was in a sling almost?
That could have happened.
Shoulder was hurt.
It was also Eli winning the first game in Jerry's World and signing the wall.
There you go. Mm. I felt like that was more interesting though. What happened after the game than what happened during the game.
I guess like Giants Cowboys would be the playoff game where Amani Toomer went off for all those receptions after they found
out.
We're going back to
Amani Toomer.
Well, they found out that the Cowboys had already booked their flights or whatever for the next round. Yeah.
Is that Cabo? Tony Romo Cabo game?
Yes. Yeah. It was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Okay, that was a good
quarters.
All right, got any more games, Mike?
I got two more quick ones. This one I think I can't wait to watch this one. Week 6 on Thursday Night Football. The Commanders and Justin Fields Bears.
Oh, my God.
Washington at Chicago.
I could just see the tweets now at 8 o'clock Eastern. Oh, no, we have to watch Washington-Chicago. That might be the most unaesthetically pleasing game of the season.
So this is garbage time on the surface, but it's actually kind of prime time. First of all, Justin Fields usually plays pretty well in prime time. He had one of his best games last year was in prime time.
How many prime time games has he played?
One. Against the Steelers.
You just said he usually plays pretty well.
Well, I was also counting his college games when he played really well at Ohio State in primetime. I'm curious about Justin Fields. I'm less curious about Carson Wentz. I don't expect much, even though they could be a sneaky playoff team.
Okay, last one. This one, we just don't know because it's the end of the season. We don't know if either, both, or neither of these teams are really part of it. But Chargers-Colts could be great. Could also be like,
Wait. We just said we love the Chargers.
Anything right, AFC
but the Colts,
West.
Like, and listen, yeah. In the AFC West, like, would you be surprised if the Chargers win 9 games, but they finish last in that division? I mean,
yes.
That division is so stacked.
I'd be very surprised if the Chargers
win. Any one of those teams
12.
Can win the division, and any one of those teams can finish 4th, I think.
Well,
I
think not the Chiefs. All the AFC West teams got 5 prime times except for the Raiders?
The Raiders, who got 4.
Which is crazy, because the Raiders are one of the biggest properties in all the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if the Chargers didn't have double-digit wins. I mean, look at their depth chart. It's like an all-star team.
Who do you think is going to finish last?
If I had to bet, I would say the Raiders or the Broncos. But I guess the Raiders. Honestly, I think all. I don't know. I can't do the math. Can all 4 win 10? Can you give me that?
I don't know. Can they all make the playoffs?
Although the Chiefs' schedule,
I think in the new expanded playoffs, they can.
Yeah, they could.
The
yeah.
Chiefs' schedule is a problem. So I think they could all end up at 9-10, and maybe. I don't know if we've ever had 4. Probably not, but with the expanded playoffs. But to me, like, do you see the Chargers as in danger of not being a playoff team?
No. Talent-wise, the Chargers should be able to hang with any team in the NFL. Something, though, always happens to the Chargers. Whether
That's
it's
true.
Their coach and their 4th downs and the decisions going back to the Rivers era when it just seemed like something would just always go wrong.
And the question is, Chargers-Colts, we'd succeed. The question is not as much about the Chargers. But will the Colts be part of it? So is this a prime time or a garbage time game?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Colts are going to be fine.
Yeah.
But with the stacked AFC, is Matt Ryan going to be, and is Jonathan Taylor going to be healthy at the end of the year? All that.
Tell you one thing. If the Chargers are healthy and Matt Ryan is sitting back there like a statue and Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa come around the edge, it'll be must watch because we get to see like a Joe Theismann.
Oh, God.
No, I should say I love Matt Ryan. But the stationary quarterback like that against those two guys, yeah, that'll be fun.
Week 16 could be a great or a stinker of primetime games because we also have Jags at Jets on Monday night, which, Maggie, I know that you actually like that one.
I'm super fascinated by this. I mean, first of all, do you know how much Trevor Lawrence stock I still have? I'm not jumping off that. And Zach Wilson as well. I mean, do you notice like something's happening where people are hyping up the Jets?
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, they got all those primetime games too.
All one of them. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, we answer the biggest question in sports. We're going to get to the bottom of it right now, right here. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Bill in Wisconsin. Now that Perloff's 76ers have been eliminated, who's the best NBA team left in the playoffs? All right. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. It's a tough question. I mean, he was obviously being very tongue-in-cheek about your 76ers, but I don't know if the answer is just so obvious as the Heat. I still even think that the Heat are the number one seed.
Wait. No, nobody. You can't say the Heat.
They've been a very disrespected number one seed.
Oh, I think the winner of the Bucks-Celtics is the best team in the whole league.
I guess I'm leaning towards Bucks-Celtics. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards the Bucks,
yeah,
quite
I
frankly.
Mean,
even
now the Bucks have the edge in their home.
Yeah.
You got to lean towards the Bucks. But I think both the Bucks and the Celtics could beat the Heat. Does that sound crazy? I know they were the number one seed.
I think the Heat would give the Celtics problems. I don't know.
The Celtics are crazy good.
I know,
I mean, they blew
so
that
good.
game. They should be up 3-2 here, but... Yeah, they're going to look back at this series and they're going to regret it. I don't think the Heat can hang with either of these teams. They're not big. They're small and they're inconsistent shooting, and that's bad. I think if Middleton comes back, Milwaukee's fine.
Well, their role players, though, played really good on the road, like especially the game we watched last
night. Well, last night, the other
game. The other game, they couldn't hit the ocean.
Yeah.
But that would obviously have to play into it because, again, Jimmy Butler is phenomenal in everything he does, but there's a limit to how much he's going to score. He's not going to give you many 40-point games. He has in this playoffs a little.
He's scored 28 a game in the playoffs, but he's not going to get it. He's getting anything he wants so far the first two rounds. Milwaukee, that's not going to happen.
Well, or the Celtics these are two great defensive teams.
Exactly.
That's going to be a little bit difficult. So I would probably lean towards the Bucks in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. I guess I have to stay with my Warriors pick, but I don't feel awesome about it considering they just got their doors blown off by 50. We'll see what happens tonight.
Yeah, honestly, I know the Warriors, Vegas has liked them, but come on. I mean, there's so many defensive liabilities.
Also, no Steve Kerr again. He's still testing positive for COVID.
I didn't think that was going to make any difference, but now I wonder. But I'm so concerned. Watching Klay Thompson try to play help defense is sad. It's like me out there on the court.
Come on. Let's not.
Honestly.
It's not that bad.
No, watch it. Watch it. Watch it in the next game. And like when he shuffles over, how unafraid the Grizzlies are of Klay Thompson on defense. It's embarrassing.
But see, I don't think that's a slam dunk answer. That's just the Suns who are the number one seed
in the West. Honestly, I think the Mavs could take out the Warriors or the Grizzlies too. I think all four of these teams, I think the Grizzlies are, because Ja's hurt, the fourth team. But I think the Mavs, Suns, and Warriors, you could guarantee any of them would beat the other.
Yeah, this has not been like super inspiring. Yes?
Well, I got a hypothetical. I mean, you kind of like glossed over the Grizzlies, but we saw they were 20-2 without Ja. They just beat the
20
Warriors.
20-5, I think they ended up. Yeah.
So but towards the end of the year, a lot of those games kind of didn't matter as much. So really they were like 20-2, 20-3. They just crushed the Warriors by 50 without Ja. Like if they were to come back and win this series without Ja, do we sort of have to start asking questions about like the Grizzlies' future with Ja?
Do you
have to? They're down 3-1 with him, and they win the series without him.
I don't know. See, I don't know if it can be that easy, right? Because I don't know, like 20-5 in the regular season. I get what you're saying about the playoffs, Samter, but I don't know if that sample size was really what people thought it was. First of all, they had some good wins in there, some very signature wins. I think they beat the Raptors on the road. I think they had a couple other good ones. But they also played so many bottom feeders and destroyed them. They beat Oklahoma City by 70. Like, that's going to tip your point differential, you know, when you outscore someone like that.
But great teams are the only people who beat, you know, like eventual champions. That's something that's signature, like championship teams win in blowouts. Like, that's something that great teams do.
Yeah, but Oklahoma City was also very much tanking. Like, they weren't trying. So I think that was a little bit not true to the record, but I don't think you'll ever count out Ja, but it would be one of the most amazing comebacks if they were able to do this without him.
I think
at some point, though, the Warriors have to get serious here, don't they?
I think if they won without Ja, it would go into the bucket of the most mysterious things in sports history. I mean, it's really incredible because he's like an MVP candidate. Now, he does this thing that Luka does and that James Harden always does. He chews up that shot clock just dribbling. Yep. I saw like four or five times, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You could see guys just sitting around watching him and getting a little bored.
Well, here's the thing, though, right? Let's take Samter's thought and just extend it out for a second. If they come back and beat the Warriors without Ja, what's the dot, dot, dot? They trade Ja Morant? Like, that doesn't sound sane. So I don't really know where this conversation goes because I don't think they do anything about it. You know, like he's your closer.
You're right. But then maybe we just start having that conversation. Like they're not going to do anything about it. But then we just have the, are they actually better without him?
No, there would be fallout of it. I'm not sure you'd go right to, are they better without them? But like you might say, wait, is Ja Morant doing something that's holding his teammates back? I think that's a valid question. I don't think they're going to win this series, by the way.
No, but you know what they'd end up doing, because this is the NBA and this is the world we live in. Instead of asking that question, you know, what do we do because we're so good without Ja Morant? Instead, they will trade like three players off the Grizzlies for another superstar to come in and pair with Ja Morant. And then we'll see whether or not that works, because that's today's NBA.
It's amazing, though. Guys like Tyus Jones and Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks, like these are not like household names. These are like second round picks who just look amazing.
Well, I mean, their general manager just won executive of the year, I think, right? Although I don't think he was responsible for a lot of the people on the roster. I saw a little of that on Twitter.
Oh, really?
It's like, hey, the new guy won an award. It's like, okay.
Well, and that coach who I...
Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, I barely remember. I wouldn't know if he walked in the studio right now. I know everyone's like, why didn't he win coach of the year? But I don't know. I'm getting like 2015 Warriors vibes from this team. Like, great system, makes all these sort of average players great.
So another very 2022 story that's happening right now on the NFL side is one of my best takes was back in the day when we started this show in January. I said I thought the Dolphins should trade for Sean Payton, right? Brian Flores had just been fired. We didn't know anything about the lawsuit. But Brian Flores had just been fired. I thought, oh, bring in an offensive-minded coach who had a lot of success with Drew Brees, a shorter quarterback, and Sean Payton, you know, would be a good fit here. Little did I know that the Dolphins actually reached out to the Saints, and this was actually discussed. Well, now comes another report, and I think this was Pro Football Talk, Perloff?
No, it was USA Today's Mike McCarthy, who used to be with USA Today.
Front Office Sports. Okay, yeah. Front Office Sports, Mike McCarthy, had a report that Sean Payton could be on the radar for the Carolina Panthers. Now, David Tepper, do we have sound of this? We have Matt Rhule. Okay, so David Tepper came out and said, not true. Matt Rhule, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, also refuted.
With regards to that report, you know, I mean, first I heard of it, Dave called me and told me that, you know, that it was going to come out, that they had called him and that there was nothing to it. I know Dave Tepper well enough to believe that he wouldn't be talking to another coach right now. You know, when he came to my house 2.5 years ago, he told me that this was a 5-year rebuild. I mean, that's what he said to me.
Sorry, I just got distracted by that because the way Matt Rhule was talking, did he talk like someone who's like hiding something? He has nothing to hide. But you have ever talked to somebody or has this ever happened to you where someone asks you a question, you're telling the truth, but you sound like you're lying because you're like either nervous or you're talking too fast? Has that ever happened to anyone else? Like, I sound like I'm lying, but I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, Matt Rhule sounded very nervous there to me, and he should be.
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I don't know what the question was. Like, yeah, did you hear that report that Sean Payton is coming your way?
Yeah, also, your boss who bought this team is, like, notorious for being, like, this cutthroat hedge fund guy who will stop at nothing to get what he wants, which is how he showed up at your doorstep 2.5 years ago and offered you a 10-year deal, 7-year deal, whatever it was. Okay, so you got a, you know, owner who wants the best of the best. We know they went after Deshaun Watson. Sean Payton's out there. Oh, bud.
I mean, yeah. Can you fire a guy 2 years or 3 years into a 7-year deal?
Why not? It's just money.
I believe he's the richest owner in the NFL, correct?
Is that true? He might be.
He's right up there. I think he is number one, number two. He's right up there.
So he's going to get whatever he wants.
I'm on the Panthers bandwagon this year.
Who's starting at quarterback?
Doesn't matter. They're going to win with Christian McCaffrey. He's going to stay healthy for the first time in the history of the world.
Okay.
And look at their defensive depth chart. Like, they're super, super loaded. So if for some miraculous way Christian McCaffrey stays healthy. Did you see that report that the Bills tried to pry McCaffrey away from the Panthers?
I did not see that report.
Yeah, and so basically they couldn't get him. The Panthers said, no, there's nothing you could give us. So they took James Cook, who is supposed to be McCaffrey light.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hopefully he's more healthy than McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's the only problem with McCaffrey, exactly.
Why would he be McCaffrey light? Can't he be... His brother's already in the NFL. Wouldn't he be the light of his brother?
I think he's more of a pass-catching guy. Like, that's what McCaffrey is. You know, James Cook, that's his best skill. So, Bills, they're not going to run the ball. Your Bills will never run the ball. Just give up on that dream. It's never, ever going to happen.
They run the ball a little bit. But Josh Allen has it in his hands, mostly. Wow, that's it. This show flew by. Thank you, Mike Samter, Stu Kovacs, Marlo Donahue, everyone on the radio and TV side. You make us look good and sound good, and we appreciate it so much. We will see you on Monday. Zach Gelb coming up on many of these CBS sports stations.
Go Bucks!
This guy. Crazy. Boo this man.
Wait to see my outfit Monday. It's going to be great.
There you go. See you Monday, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.